episode 69 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we will talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Lindsay, and this week, I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Elizabeth and Sandy. So many months ago, episode 50, you got you all excited about tackling your travel bucket list. But there is one pesky problem. How in the world are we going to pay for this? So sadly, none of us have discovered a money tree growing in our backyards. So how is it that we can make our dreams come true when it comes to travel? We can't hand the money to you, of course. We need our money for our own travel. But we wanted to share some tips we all have come up with over the years to feed our own travel habit. Hopefully these ideas can help you take the first steps to those destinations that you've always dreamed of. So what are a few of your...
Step one. I think you need to figure out what you want to do and figure out what it's going to cost. So you know what, you know, and it might be a year down the road. It might be 2 years down the road. But once you have that idea of the cost, you can start chipping away at it.
And be comfortable with knowing that that's an idea because costs change, you know, and, you can guess at what a trip is going to cost, but you need to sort of give some plus or minus around that.
Some of them you can deposit though a couple years in advance. So you know what that portion will cost, although airfare can fluctuate. You can't buy that far out, but yeah.
You have to be realistic about costs and your expectation there, because you're not, if we could all go somewhere for a week, somewhere beautiful for $500, none of us would be here to record this podcast right now. So be a little realistic about your expectations and plan it out far enough in advance that you can make those deposits.
Yeah. And I do think that's, I mean, I had a client just recently bring me a budget. They wanted to go to an all-inclusive in the Caribbean, and I sent them back some ideas in that budget. And, they generally were 3-star, you know, properties. They did fit their budget, and I was pretty sure that they were going to have a comfortable experience, but it wasn't prime luxury. And they came back to me with, well, we've heard a lot about these sandals resorts. You know, you've seen the ads on TV. Why didn't you propose one of those? And I was like, well, because it's about twice your budget. And I would, you know, send them the price. And they're like, oh, okay. So do understand that what you see on TV is never completely accurate as far
and
as
And they
pricing.
Always say on TV, oh, it's like $400 off or whatever. But yeah. Yeah,
that doesn't always. Yeah. And there's a lot of advertising to get you in. You know, there's big companies that run 2-for-1 specials that are pretty much their normal prices. I can tell you that it's been the same price the whole time I've been. Yeah. So it's not necessarily a sale. So just keep in mind that that exists and I think that whole deposit thing is really important to talk about. Like there's a couple points of view on this. I do know people who have a travel account. They set up with their bank a travel account, and if you have direct deposit with your employer, sometimes you can deposit money into more than one account from that same check. So you can say, I'm going to put this much into this account, this much. That's a great way to save. But if you can touch that account, then you may not actually use it. Whereas if you put a deposit down, and I have a lot of clients who do this, they will put their deposit down and then they'll say, okay, how much do I have to pay every month? And when do I have to have it paid off? When's the final payment due? And they'll make monthly payments, and I can do that for them. Any of us can do that for them. And they, sometimes they end up being very small deposits. I have people going on a Disney cruise and their deposits are, you know, their payments are like $100 to $150 a month.
Yeah.
And they're making that on the 1st of every month, on the 5th of every month, whatever their day is, they'll make that, they just incorporate it into their bill payment and they make that payment. And so it's sort of the same thing as putting into account. You don't get any interest on it. But interest rates these days, if you've got a great savings account with a great interest rate, you go for it, but you probably don't. So just making the payments on that trip. And then you have a deposited trip that you know how much it's going to cost in the end too. So it's not going to fluctuate.
And if you have a deposited trip, you're likely going to go on that trip. You're not going to, you know, keep pushing it off and pushing it off.
And you're likely to keep paying on it. Whereas if you have the option to put your money into a savings account versus spend it on something, you might not.
Right.
You might say, oh, maybe next week I'll just double up, you know, or whatever.
You'll think twice about that extra grande latte.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's
it helps me prioritize my spending to have something that I'm paying on or a goal that I'm working for. Then I think twice about that extra $50 I spend at Target or wherever.
Yep. Do I really need this jacket or, you know, do I want a dinner on my, you know,
or do I really need to eat today? And honestly, when I was much younger and, you know, I was working for just a little over minimum wage and, I took a trip to Greece and, all my coworkers were wondering how I managed to do that. Because they knew that I wasn't getting paid a lot. And, but it was prioritizing. It was saying, you know what, this is something I want to do. And yeah, I might eat macaroni and cheese three nights in a row in order to make it happen. You know, I'm totally willing to make that sacrifice.
Another thing I do, especially if we have something planned out like a year in advance, is I take like buckets of it. Like we know we want to drive, you know, we want to rent a car. So the rental car is going to be $300 for 2 weeks, you know, or we know we want to go eat dinner at this thing, or we want tickets to this show or something like that. So I know what that costs and then I can buy that here and there, you know, and then you can pay for that in sections. And so that helps to kind of check things off the list too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when you're doing something that's mostly inclusive where you might have a base cost and then you have other things that can be paid here and there.
Right.
For sure. Yeah.
One thing that I do is every time I do go, not to mention Target again, I swear they're not paying us. every time I go to Target, I throw a gift card, especially if I'm doing any Disney travel, a Disney gift card in my basket. And I save that way because I'm not the kind of person who can, I know myself, I can't save it in a savings account. It'll get appropriated for something else. I have to save it in a means that works for me. So those work for me. You can also get other gift cards there for Southwest, for airlines. And if you have the Target Red Card, you get 5% off of everything you buy there. So really, in essence, you're saving 5% on your vacation over the long run. And it's completely worth it and completely doable. And then when the time comes for your vacation and you're forking over all that money, you're not, it's not as much of a sticker shock. And any of us can process those gift cards.
Yeah. I've had people pay for their entire Disney cruise on gift cards. Lots of gift cards.
Lots. It's not our favorite thing to do, but we will do it.
If you have your own Disney gift cards, there's I want to say it's DisneyGiftCards.com, and you can consolidate them onto one, which is a really great thing to do, especially for something like a cruise, because if there's any kind of refund on your taxes or something like that, or just even if you have, like, you're going to the parks and you don't want to take 10 cards with you, you know, it's a really good way to have it all on one card. And they'll hold up to $1,000, so you can put a lot on there. Mm-hmm. So those are good to do, too.
And that really is a good tip, that whole gift card thing, because it is sort of, and you get, in that case, you're getting almost 5% interest. So, again, better than a savings account.
And a lot of companies are doing this now where instead of a bonus, they'll let you choose a gift card. Mm-hmm. This is what my husband's company, GE, does. But I've seen other companies do it, too, because if you give a cash bonus, you're going to get the heck taxed out of it, you know? So, see, I'm trying to be
so family-friendly.
Yeah. So, instead of that, you can get a gift card and you get your full amount. So, if there's a travel gift card, I'm pretty sure one of his friends paid for their Carnival cruise with that because they use Carnival gift cards. Mm-hmm. And he gets me Disney gift cards for gifts.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can ask for that, for Christmas or for, and, you know, even when if you're getting married, you can register for, you can tell people, hey, we're going to go on a Carnival cruise, we're going to go on a Disney cruise, and that lets them know that they could give you gift cards toward that. And it may not pay for your initial cruise because you've already taken care of that, you know, depending on when you get the gifts, but then,
You can do honeymoon registries for your travel,
you can.
Too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, ask us about that if you haven't. If this is your big trip,
So that, and we get a lot of questions about credit cards and using reward points, and there's lots of different reward points out there. So I just want to touch on it. You know, as travel agents, we can't really use your miles to book trips. That's not something that we, I won't say we won't do it. Some travel agents will do it, but it's sort of a specialty area, and I generally don't do it. Do you guys do it?
No, I tell people to book it themselves.
I find flights for people and then they can book on their own. But I will help if I'm booking another at Quorum. No, if they just called me and said, I don't need anything, but I have all these miles, help right. me with just this one thing, I wouldn't do that. But.
Call American Airlines. Yeah. yeah. Or whatever airline it is. Yeah. And so, and I do have clients who use their miles for that, but then there's lots of cards that will also just give you sort of thank you points or bonus points. And you can actually be pretty creative with those. So, you know, there's things that are involved in a vacation that you might not think of as part of the vacation cost. And we've talked about this with all inclusives and cruises and things where people are like, oh, it costs so much. And they're not thinking about how, mm-hmm. you know, how much that trip to Myrtle Beach costs. So if you are taking a trip that has pieces like that, sometimes that can be a good way to use your reward points. So instead of going to Target to do your pre-cruise shopping for your travel shampoos and all that, go to Amazon and use your Amazon card. You know, I have a thank you card with Citibank, and I can use my thank you points on Amazon.com just as cash, basically. So there's a Disney Visa rewards card. There's, and you know, the Carnival, yeah. Royal Caribbean all have rewards cards that you can use toward that.
So. There's a guy who writes a blog. I think he's called The Points Guy. Mm-hmm. There's a Facebook page too. And he puts a lot of tips out there mm-hmm. on them.
Well, yeah. I have a friend who actually sort of has considered making a career out of that. He's taken yeah. some amazing trips using points and sort of knows the tricks to yeah. which card gives you which.
The people I know who are really successful with that are the ones who travel a lot for work.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And take advantage yes. of the points that yeah. they accumulate staying on like their work time. You know?
Yeah. And I will say that's an important thing for you to tell us as travel agents. Make sure you tell us if we're booking flights for you that you want to upgrade eventually, because there are fare codes that are less expensive that are not upgradable. So we need to know ahead of time if you mm-hmm. have any intention of upgrading your flight, because we don't want to right. show you a flight that is not upgradable. Yeah. So do share mm-hmm. that with us ahead of time. For sure.
I flew for like a whole year on Josh's reward points because he flew back and forth to Iraq so many times. He had so many.
And he didn't want to go anywhere. Yeah. He's like, you know what? I'm staying home.
For a whole year on that.
So, Lindsay, I think you have a pretty creative way for financing some of your trips.
I do, and I take a lot of flack for it, but I just did my taxes and I averaged this out. I make quite a bit of money selling things on eBay, and it's stuff from around my house that isn't really doing anything for me that we're either not using, or we bought it was the wrong size and never returned it, or you know, collectibles that are now worth, I hate to admit this, but some of my collectibles are worth so much more than they were when I purchased them. It's a way better interest return on them than it would be if I'd invested in stocks or bonds or, you know, some
well,
adults.
I mean, yeah, think about it. If that is appreciated, I mean. Yeah.
And yeah. so, and there's a, everything in my house, I try not to get attached to my things. And really the past couple of years, I really want to travel more than I want to have things. And so everything in my house has a number. There's a number in my head that I will sell it for. And if I see that someone else is selling it for that number, guess what? It's for sale. So, and I've paid for most of my trips this year have been with just, and you can do yard sales. You can do, there are Facebook local groups in your area that'll buy. I just sold two bags of my husband's, t-shirts, old t-shirts, for like $40.
Vintage, right? That's funny. Well, yeah, I do the yard sale thing and I do the Facebook thing. I guess the Facebook thing is the new Craigslist, but I'm one of those people that really, really likes to support people who sell stuff at like home parties and mm-hmm. things. So I end up with like, you know, like if you're the host, you get all the free stuff. I end up with like tons of 31 bags that I'm cleaning out my closet and I'm like, yeah, I don't really need these. I don't use them. I'll put them on a Facebook group and they sell like crazy. People want those immediately. So, you know, there, you probably have stuff laying around like that that you're not thinking about, you're not using, you know, get rid of it. Put it in the little pot. I mean, I keep it all my money in like a little sandwich bag that is specifically for the trip, you know, mm-hmm. and then that's where that goes, spending money. Like, oh, we just made dinner. Woo. You know, this will take us out to eat. Yeah.
And it's a good way for me too, because it's another way to save funds. Because my eBay is connected to my PayPal, and so everything I sell, it goes into PayPal. And then the only thing that's coming out of my PayPal account are postage fees and things like that. Mm-hmm. And then when I'm on vacation and I'm running my credit card for all of my fancy drinks or fancy meals, because I'm not eating those at home, I'm using my PayPal money. So. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So there's a big one coming up soon that everybody looks forward to.
Yes. Taxes. Everybody's excited about taxes.
I'm not so excited anymore. My return last year was way smaller, and I think this year it'll be even smaller.
It's funny because this time of year I can tell, and maybe some of you listening are guilty of this, having just emailed me in the last week telling me to pay big chunks on this vacation that we booked maybe late last year. And they're like, oh, I just put $2,000 on that. I'm like, I know it just happened.
Yeah.
You just got that money back and you don't want to spend it again. And it's true. It's a great way. You know, if you really want to use your tax refund for part of your vacation, as soon as you get it, put it into that vacation. And maybe that's the point where you book the vacation, or maybe it's a vacation that you booked and put a small deposit on late last year, knowing you would be filing your taxes and having some idea of what would be coming back. It's a good motivator to get your taxes done.
Yeah.
In fact, I just talked to a friend of mine today who was saying, I got to file my taxes tomorrow. I was like, you have 2 whole months. He's like, no, I got a flight to book. I need that money back.
Yeah.
So if that's something that's important to you and if that's what you intend to use your tax refund for, and this is busy season for travel as well. You know, accountants talk about their busy season. It's the exact same for us from the beginning of January to the end of April.
I think the weather helps us a lot too, because it's been crap here.
Yes.
It's been another one of those winters. Yeah.
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 I do think it really is important to touch on that again, like that, whether it's your tax return or anything, utilize that deposit system. There are so many suppliers that we work with that offer those amazing, you can book a year, 2 years out in advance and you're not. And if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't get to go anywhere.
Yeah. And the deposits are often not very high. I mean, it does depend on the product, but the,
but even the like with all inclusives, we can do, a lot of our vendors will do like a reduced air deposit if you pay a little bit more. And then, you know, cause otherwise you got to pay for your air all at once. But if you can get one of those programs where you can do a reduced deposit on your air, you know, just keep making those chunks of payments and then, you know.
Well, and if you're booking 2 years out, you can't book air anyway. So, so that also sort of helps. You don't have the whole cost of the trip yet, but you do have a good idea. And then you can play the airline game, which I always love. My clients are like, so will this price go down?
Yes. And I'm like, we want to look at Tuesday night at 10 o'clock.
Yeah. And honestly, I'm taking a big trip in about a month and a half. And I bought the tickets right before I went on my last trip. And, but I didn't have all the details finalized yet. And then I got a notice that maybe the details that I had weren't correct. So I had to cancel it. I had to cancel it quickly. Mm. I got my money back. It was within a time frame. Again, depending on how you book your air, you can sometimes do that. So I had to pay a very small fee to cancel it. And then I went on my trip and I came back and all the details got finalized actually today. And I'm really glad that I canceled that because when I went to book it, better flights are available for less money. Oh. And I got to tell you, that happens so infrequently.
Yeah.
I book a lot of air and it's very, very rare that it happens. It will sometimes happen with international flights. And I just got super lucky because honestly, we're getting close enough now where I thought it was going to go up. Yeah. And it didn't. It ended up going down by about $400.
Wow. Of course,
then I upgraded to Comfort Plus and there went
So you spend the same amount of money.
Yeah, but we got a much better seat. So.
That's another thing you should think about. When you're looking at your bucket list, make it nice. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't get the cheapest air. Get the, you know, but the, what's it called?
Comfort Plus.
Yeah. Or, you know, upgrade a little bit here and there because your experience is going to be so much better for it. And your anticipation is going to be so much higher. So it's definitely worth doing.
Once in a trip. I mean, if you're doing that, my husband is already, we won't go, across the ocean without, first class.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen anymore. It's not worth it to spend that much. If you're spending 12 hours in a plane.
I've said that too. However, my pocketbook has not agreed with me when it comes time to do it. If given the opportunity, I will upgrade. Yeah.
It's hard to do. I have a family of five and if we're getting to Europe, it won't be in first class, but you know, it'll be one of those things where I have to save for chunks. Like I'll have to like, okay, I've saved up Fox's ticket and now we're working on Ellie's, you know, so.
Well, I have clients come to me and they're like, I just got the cheapest airfare. And I look at them like, oh, you're leaving at 1 a.m. That's awesome. And they're like, what? Because they didn't look at the actual, you know.
Where they're connecting how long their connection is.
Yes. Yeah. So that can be really tricky. You know, you wonder why the first flights that come up all leave at 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, that's because they're the cheapest because nobody wants to be on them. So
I actually like early flights personally, but you know.
Well, and for this flight that I just booked, you know, that was something where it was $100 per person more for us to leave earlier, but our connection in Atlanta, instead of being 45 minutes, was going to be 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what, that's worth it. I will get up super early in the morning to make sure I don't miss my next flight, because that's a much bigger nightmare.
Because Atlanta is one of those where you're probably going to have to take a train.
Yeah, a train and a bus and maybe another small plane to get to your other,
my least favorite airports.
It is fairly clearly laid out, but at the same time, it's sort of a... Yeah.
You're running. Yeah. When they say there's, it's okay. It's a legal connection. You've got 30 minutes. It doesn't, unless your, gates are really close.
Well, and we discovered coming back from our conference that we all went to together, Andy wanted to come join us in our terminal because his plane was leaving so much later. And it turns out that that terminal doesn't connect to our terminals.
Yeah.
He had to, leave security and come back in. It was a big pain in the butt. But, anyway, we're diverging.
Yeah.
But the point is the cheapest is not always the best. And, it is important to really consider your vacation and the time you're going to spend on that vacation.
Yeah.
For those budget-minded people that may be listening that are unaware of this, don't think you have to wait for that trip you want to do, to go on sale to book it.
Mm-hmm.
We can modify your prices for you. If sale comes out, we monitor and we can either modify it or in some cases cancel and rebook, but it's don't think you have to wait till I'm waiting for the absolute bottom price.
And I'll add to that, that's true with some vendors, others maybe not so much. And one question I get asked a lot about is about cruise lines, and I hear there's really great last minute cruise deals, and I got to tell you, I've watched those a lot. And if you want to make sure you get the cabin you want, or even something remotely like the cabin you want, and you want to make sure you're on that cruise, don't wait until the last minute. If you really don't care, then that could be a good option for you. And I've definitely gotten some good deals last minute. But if you have something specific you want out of that trip, or if you have to go certain days, don't wait, because it may never go on sale. It may sell out before they put it on sale.
And I've seen them, but it seems to me that the cruise lines are really trying to get away from that pricing model, because it's not good for them. And, people don't. The only people that really love it are people who can travel at the last second.
Yeah. Or people who live in Florida.
Who can just instead of going out to dinner every night this weekend, we're going to hop on the cruise.
It's very true. And so I do think that's, we hear a lot of, can you get me a good deal on? It's like, you're talking about something. This is your vacation. You got to understand how important that is to you. And you hear all these horror stories about vacations, and a lot of them are caused by being tight, being really, really conscientious of money. And again, be conscientious of your money. Don't overspend. Don't book something you can't afford, but take the time to really understand what you can afford and take the time to understand what you are getting for that money.
I mean, if you're going to go to the Caribbean for an all-inclusive, you're probably going to appreciate having an ocean view. Mm-hmm. I mean, you go all that way to see this gorgeous beach. You don't want to be staring at the road, and people say, I won't be in my room that much. Yeah, maybe you will. Maybe you do want to go back to your room and hang out. And you have this nice, gorgeous balcony that looks out onto the ocean, so,
It's the old adage of you get what you pay for.
Yes.
It's very true in travel, more so than.
Yep. Definitely.
Well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode, or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com, then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast, or just search for Flyaway, or email us at info@outlandertravel.com. We would really love to hear from you. On behalf of Elizabeth, Sandy, our amazing engineer and editor, Heidi, and myself, Lindsay, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next time. Gotta fly.